I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. There's a new theater company in town. It's called Fog Theater, and they're mounting their first production, playing now until the end of the month daily, except Mondays when they're dark at the PAL Studio Theater, is Heroes. It's Tom Stoppard's translation of a French play about three First World War veterans who we find in a military hospital, passing their days talking about the past, the staff at said hospital, and more. One of the principals of FOG joins me now. We'll ask Michael Dobbin what FOG stands for, his role in this production, and more. Michael Dobbin is a producer, director, actor, and teacher. He was managing director of the Vancouver Playhouse, artistic director of the Western Canada Theatre Company, and director, CEO of Alberta Theatre Projects. He co-stars with John Innes and William Samples, and the production is directed by Terry Kelly. Incidentally, the Messrs. Dobbin, Innes, and Samples live at PAL, the Performing Arts Lodge, located on Cardero Street in Vancouver's Cole Harbour area. Tickets can be had at brownpapertickets.com, and Tuesday nights are pay what you can. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Michael Dobbin. Mr. Dobbin, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
So the Fog Theatre Company, the four of you started that, right?
Yes, Terry and William and John and myself, yes.
Yeah, what does it stand for?
Well, it could be any number of things. We started with four old geezers, and then it became four older gentlemen, and this recently it's been known as Fond of Gin.
Yeah.
Well, so we decided we would be, you know, we're sort of coming out of the fog, so it's all good. You can call us the Fog, and we'll let you think whatever it is.
Yeah, and you're all gentlemen of an older, of a certain age, I guess, right?
Well, we're all in our 60s or older.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, that the three actors all live in the building at the Performing Arts Lodge. And we don't think of ourselves as seniors, but I guess we're getting pretty close, or we already are.
Yeah, and so how did it come about? Were you guys sitting around and said, let's put on a show?
Well, Terry Kelly and I were talking one night, and I said that I wanted to do a show with him, and he didn't say too much about it at the time, but a few weeks later he called me and he said, I found the perfect play and I know who else we should have in it, and we had an opportunity to sit down together and read it, and away it went. And the first reading was many months ago now, and it was just a real pleasure to sit down with William and John and hear the voices of these characters come to life. It was a good spark, and everybody just latched onto it.
Yeah, I read a review of the show, and the reviewer said that this is a play that appeals to actors.
Well, I hope all plays appeal to actors.
Yeah,
but you mean as an audience member, it appeals to actors, or to the actors playing the parts?
I think what the reviewer in the Georgia Strait meant was that this had sort of the I haven't seen the show yet, but that has the dialogue that actors like, sort of the it's a play that actors would like to do.
Well, Tom Stoppard, of course, is a wonderful, wonderful writer, and he writes material that is always a great challenge for actors because he loves the English language, even though it's not his first language. And in this case, it's a translation adaptation of a French play, but I know that he and the original playwright worked very closely together. But there are wonderful and subtle tricks of the language that, not exactly tricks, but manipulations of the English language that Stoppard always uses in his plays, and certainly they're here in this one. And they're a challenge to do, and they're a challenge to play. So from that point of view, I think, yes, actors enjoy the material.
Yeah. And is it true, I read somewhere, that this is the first role that you've done in a while?
Yes, as you mentioned, I've been running theaters for a long time, over 40 years. And probably once a year, on average, during the course of that time, I'd be in a show. But William and John are actors who've worked their entire lives and careers as actors, and so for me, I'm returning to the acting field as opposed to simply continuing my long career as they are. And I'm a little rusty, or at least I was until we got going. And I've been having to keep up with those guys. It's been good. It's been a real challenge and a lot of fun and very hard work.
Yeah. One of the reasons why you all formed FOG was because you all felt that being an older actor, there weren't as many roles, I guess, or for older actors. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, if you look at the repertoire, there aren't a lot of acting roles for senior people in most of the plays. plays that we can think about, and certainly older men roles of consequence are pretty few and far between. When we were younger, when we were in the early days of what we now know as a professional theatre in Canada, there were a lot of whatever seniors we had in the field were probably not from the country. They were probably migrants who had come here to work in the theatre and from whom we learned a lot. But we're now part of a big bubble, like everyone else of our age. We're a bubble of seniors in our field representing a large number of people for whom there isn't a lot of work. So just like when I was a young artistic director, or not so young, mm-hmm. Saying to young artists for whom there was no work, you got to go and make your own, we decided that that's exactly where we are now. We've returned to that same place, and we're making our own work and enjoying the process.
I guess it's sort of the Betty White phenomenon, isn't it, that the roles that older actors have, senior actors have, are sort of supporting, and they're sort of, I guess, almost silly, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, often. I mean, even in Shakespeare, the older folks are the dukes and the earls often, you know, and they're important to the story, and they're important to the texture of the piece, but they're not necessarily very satisfying roles to play.
Yeah.
Betty White's done pretty well for herself in finding the way to keep herself front and center, but the rest of us are a little less fortunate.
Yeah. Do you act better now than when you were younger?
I act smarter.
Yeah.
I think probably one, as a director, when you're working with actors all the time, I have enormous respect for actors, and so I'm aware of the vulnerability of being an actor more now than I probably was when I was younger. And like everything, you know, the older you get, the harder it is sometimes to take risks. You have to really push yourself harder. I call it the pothole syndrome. Once you've driven over a pothole, you know how to drive around it the next time. And in this case, I've been trying to drive straight through and take the bumps as they come.
Yeah. In terms of the theater as a living in this part of the world, at least in Vancouver, can it be a lucrative or comfortable living?
Well, I'm amazed at how many people in Vancouver, younger people and even middle-aged people, who are working for very little, if any, money. I mean, there's a lot of talk about the vibrancy of the theater community in Vancouver, and that's true. But the deplorable state of financing for theater and the arts in British Columbia means that a lot of these people are working for less than living wages, and I think that's wrong and inappropriate and really unfortunate. Of course, there are people who've been living in Vancouver for decades and have made very, very fine careers and good livings and raised their families and so on. But not enough of the people who are doing the good theater that we see around us all the time are making a decent living. And I find that very frustrating. I've been working my whole life to change that situation, and it doesn't seem to have changed much at all.
Yeah, I mentioned off the top that you were once at the Vancouver Playhouse.
Yes, during the Christopher Newton years.
Yeah, and that company since left the scene. Does that foretell anything about the future of theater in this town?
I think the most important thing to realize is, with the Playhouse situation, is that theater in Canada, and certainly the Vancouver Playhouse as an example, has never been properly capitalized. It runs on a shoestring all the time. I mean, the Playhouse wasn't financially healthy in 1979 when I left it. We were alive and vibrant and doing really important things and had a big audience, but it was financially very fragile and always has been. And that's no way to build cultural institutions. In other countries where a company is built on a solid foundation, artistic foundation, like the Playhouse was and has been, there's a much more firm and secure financial structure on which they can sit and rely, so that they can fail occasionally if needs be, and still continue to move forward.
Now, one of the roles that you played previously, you were with Western Canada Theatre Company and Alberta Theatre Projects, and in reading up on you, you had a great deal of work. You actually spent a great deal of time developing Canadian plays.
It is my legacy, I guess, if I have one.
Yeah.
The Playwrights Festival, now called the Enbridge Playwrights Festival in Calgary, is in its 27th year, and is probably the largest single source of full-length plays for the Canadian stage now, and has been for a long time. That festival is an enormous undertaking for ATP every year, and I'm very proud of the fact that I founded it, not alone, of course. I had many people helping me, and that it's still there and still doing as much and making such a vibrant contribution to the Canadian stage. But new work is has been my theatrical and artistic lifeline. I find it extraordinarily stimulating to work on new plays and to work with playwrights who are writing new plays.
And are there good Canadian plays coming out nowadays?
Oh, when I think about back in the 70s when I announced that I was going to do an all-Canadian season in Kamloops at the Western Canada Theatre, people laughed at me. Mm-hmm. What will that be? How can you possibly do a season of seven or six, whatever plays, the number of plays it was, of Canadian plays that would actually sell? And it was a wonderful season, and what I learned there was that Canadians want to hear their own stories. Since that time, the development of the Canadian theatre and the number of plays from which we have to choose, the whole theatrical canon has matured to a world-class level. Canadian plays are being done all over the place, in many different languages, for that matter. And our playwrights are one of our proudest achievements in Canada, I think. A group of people for whom I have enormous respect and who are almost invisible to the naked Canadian eye. We've got great writers and really good stuff happening. And I think if we paid as much attention to the new work as we pay to the old work in terms of Shakespeare and Shaw, for example, Canadians would be a lot more engaged with the theater around them.
Now, back to Heroes for just a sec here. It isn't a show for older audiences, right?
No, it's not written for older audiences. Yeah. It's written for anyone. We've already seen that younger people find it quite engaging. Middle-aged people seem to somehow reflect upon their parents when they see these three guys. And older people are quite engaged by the fact that the truths that are revealed by these three characters talking together. And the humor of it's quite funny. In fact, it took us by surprise in a way. We were working so hard on it that we forgot that the first time we read it, we thought it was quite funny. And so our first few audiences have taken us by surprise because there's a lot of laughter.
And other than acting, as a member of the company, the theater company, you're dealing with sort of the production stuff
because
as well, right?
It's an equity co-op.
Yeah.
It means that you can't have a producer, per se. The equity members have to be the producing enterprise. So The Fog is the name of the enterprise, but the work's all being done by the actors and the director, the people who are a part of, who form the co-op. And we hired Glenn McDonald, who really is the fifth member of The Fog. He's done an enormous amount of work as the designer for a very, very, very little fee. We think of him as the fifth of us, but we do all of it. The marketing, we engaged a firm from outside, but we have had to be on top of all of that, the advertising, the printing, the programs, the writing, all of the stuff that in a theater company there's a staff to do, and I'm aware of because mm-hmm. I've been running companies for so long. But it took John and William, I think, a bit by surprise as to the depth and breadth of the effort that we as actors would be putting into this thing.
So in terms of your day, I'm sure before 8 o'clock you're dealing with sort of the logistics of running a theater company, and then at 8 o'clock you become an actor. Is that when it turns on or shuts off, or how does that work for you in terms of how you...
No, surprisingly for me anyway, I've got this character in my mind all day long. It's about 5 o'clock in the evening I start looking at my watch and watching very carefully what the time is for fear that I might miss the half-hour call. And yesterday, our first matinee, William sent us all an email in the morning saying, don't forget 2 o'clock matinee today, because actors are famous for forgetting the matinees, especially if they're working in a new company where the matinee's at a different time than where they were last.
Yeah.
So we all got our email, and we all dutifully trounced up there at 1:30, and we had a lovely time yesterday afternoon with quite a small audience, but they were delightful.
Yeah. A review of the play describes your character as the sanest of the three. Now, of the four of you at Fog, is that the same?
What a question to ask me. Well, of course it's true. No, I wouldn't say that to be the case at all. We're all pretty unusual. We all have our own bag of neuroses, and we're men in our 60s and 70s. We have a lot of baggage, and we don't travel light. Yeah. So it's been fascinating and really quite enjoyable. And the fact that we're still speaking to one another and in good form. I think is a great testament to the personalities involved.
What's it like living at PAL?
PAL's a wonderful place. It's a wonderful achievement, and I'm I feel very honored to live here. I'm one of the 12 PAL partners, which are the people who bought we bought the leases. They're life leases that we bought for mm-hmm. 12 of the apartments. These are the two-bedroom units. The other 99 units in the building are rental units, and they're one bedrooms. So life in the building is it's quite dynamic because there's so many different kinds of artists and people affiliated with the arts in here. And there are also a number of people who are renting at market rate and who are not necessarily part of the artistic community. That's part of the problem, I guess. If there is a problem with PAL, it's that the ongoing financing in order to maintain the subsidies for those in the building who require subsidy, the ongoing financing is difficult because it's all based on fundraising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard good things about this production, Heroes, and from people who've seen it. Continued best wishes for the production and for Fog.
Well, thank you very much, and I hope when you see it that you'll enjoy it.
Indeed, indeed. Website for tickets and info, brownpapertickets.com. It runs until the 30th of September at the Performing Arts Lodge at 581 Cardero. The play is called Heroes. One of its actors, Michael Dobbin, on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.